So would you like to be seated for our first reading from the Psalms?
The first reading is Psalm 99, which can be found in your pew Bible on page 935. Praise to God for his holiness. The Lord is King. Let his peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Extol the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those who called on his name. They cried to the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of cloud. They kept his decrees and the statutes that he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their wrongdoings. Extol the Lord our God, and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. This is the word of the Lord.
After our gospel reading, Peter Coombs is going to deliver the homily this morning. Peter was on the same Alpha table as Paul when they did the Alpha... this is getting confusing, isn't it, Peter and Paul? So Peter Coombs was on the same table as Paul Deans, who's being baptized later when they did Alpha last November. So we were particularly keen that Peter be a part of today's service. So he's going to share with us in a moment. Shall we stand for our gospel reading, if you're comfortable to do that? This is from Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 28. It's the account of the Transfiguration. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. But since they'd stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Heavenly Father, please take my words and speak through them. Please take our minds and stimulate them. Please take our lives and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. I heard on the radio this morning that the christening of the greatest cruise liner ever, Bellissima in Southampton, was postponed yesterday because of wind and rain. Remarkable. No comment. Today's baptism will go ahead, notwithstanding. A little water is exactly what we need. As a matter of fact, the word christening doesn't appear in the Bible anywhere. But the word baptism does. And what Christian baptism does is to establish and to make public a new relationship between, in our case, Paul and God, and Sean and God, based on faith. Indeed, this is my theme this morning, that Christianity is all about relationships. Then you might say, which verse of the Bible says that? That Christianity is all about relationships. My answer is no one verse in the Bible, no one chapter in the Bible, no one book of the Bible, but the whole of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, starting with Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 1, right through to John's vision in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22, where God says of the saints in heaven, I will be their God, and they will be my people. The Christian faith is all about relationships, especially the relationship of men and women and children to God himself, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Enter Jesus. Enter Jesus. And through that one perfect life and that one sacrificial death and that one all-important resurrection, we know that we can be assured of our forgiveness and of our welcome into the family of God. Let me focus for a moment on the two parts of the baptism service. First of all, there's the sprinkling, the washing with water. And secondly, we shall see the making of the sign of the cross. As regards the water, it's not the amount of water that matters. Some baptisms are by sprinkling water, a bit like this morning. Some baptisms are by total immersion. It is not the amount of water that matters at a baptism. It's the amount of faith that is brought to the service that counts. As regarding the sign of the cross, nothing to do, of course, with the crosses that a lot of us have to bear as we go through life. This, rather, is the cross that Jesus hung on at Calvary, on which he was crucified. As somebody once put it, one lonely hill, two pieces of wood, and three nails, and it was all over. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. In other words, in short, the living Saviour died so that dying sinners might live and enjoy in a new and fresh way fellowship with God. And with my mention of the word fellowship, the service of baptism a bit later on this morning itself moves on to talking about fellowship, the fellowship that believers enjoy together. How did I begin? The Christian faith is all about relationships. And during his earthly lifetime, Jesus called men and women and children to himself. He enjoyed their company, and they enjoyed his. And this is the same today. And later on, as we come to the end of the baptism part of the service, you, the congregation, say to Paul and to Sean, you say, "We welcome you into the fellowship of faith. We are children of the same Heavenly Father. We welcome you." That's what you have to say. And if we really want to be welcoming to Paul and Sean, as I draw to a close, we need to do this at all times and in all places. Not just up and down and in and out of the aisle of this church, but also in and out, up and down, in the aisles of Tesco or Waitrose or Lidl. Take your choice. In other words, wherever we meet up with Paul and Sean in the future, let's remember we are all members of the one Christian family with the same Heavenly Father. My last sentence goes like this. The logic of it all is this. If I can call God Father, and you can call God Father, that makes us all brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen.